In a minute, Kate's going to come and read, but I just wanted to do a quick introduction. One of the many things I've learned over the years is that the more and more I study God's word, I find out that God has a plan. Can you say to the person next to you, God has a plan? Do you know, have you ever spent time thinking about God's plan for your life and for salvation? God meticulously plans things out. He purposely plans things out. He intentionally plans things out. Do you know, everything God does has a plan. He doesn't go, what shall I do today? I'm stuck for an idea. God has a plan and he meticulously works out. And we're going to look at that in a minute. And even when we don't see that he's working, do you know what he's doing? He's working. Even when we're asleep, he doesn't sleep or slumber. He's working. In the Old Testament, God methodically put people in place. He put things in place that would point to the coming of Jesus in the New Testament. God starts to unfold a plan for mankind that eventually is going to point to Jesus, or does point to Jesus, when Jesus returns. And it talks about Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We look today at a word called Ashram, and it specifically talks about what the Messiah is going to be like. And what the Old Testament does is it points towards Jesus and it gives people a hope and a future. We all need a hope and we all need future, don't we? Isn't that true? We all need hope. Every one of us needs hope today. We have hope that Jesus is coming back. Now, in the New Testament, again, God continues to work out his plan. And so Jesus is born. We'll look a little bit about pointing to that story today. Jesus is born and Jesus fulfills the promise of the Old Testament. All those things that were talked about him, well, didn't fulfill all of them, but many of them. And Jesus comes on the form of a man. And Jesus comes and he dies on the cross for the sins of the world. He restores mankind to a relationship with the Father. He goes in the grave. He's resurrected from the grave. He then goes up to the Father. And today he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. Isn't that good news? But the plan doesn't finish there. Because if it did, what does that mean for us? God is meticulously, purposely, intentionally working out his plan for him coming home, back here, to take us to be with him. So even when we don't see that he's working, even when for 12 months we've been stuck at home, even when we don't know what's going to happen in the future, Jesus is working. He has a plan. Say to the person next to you, if you can, God has a plan. So God continually demonstrates to us throughout history, part of his character is he is faithful. God has shown he's faithful. God today is showing his faithfulness. And he will continue to be faithful to you and I today. So, we're going to look at this New Testament scripture. Kate's going to come and read it for us. And it's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. This is a scripture, and we're going to look at that today, and we see how God had a plan and how he meticulously worked it out.
There was, in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abiah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people."
So the Gospel of Luke that we read today, if you read the Gospel of Luke, it's different to the other Gospels. The Gospel of Luke is written chronologically in order. It helps us understand timelines in the Bible to find out what happened. So when Gabriel comes to Zechariah, it's at Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, which is in June. It's in the year 3997 in Hebrew calendar. So the Hebrews start their calendar from the time they believe creation was to that date, which is the year 3997 in the Hebrew calendar, and it's in June, and it's in the Feast of Pentecost. Now, if you were a man, a Jewish boy, and you were born as a Jewish boy, and you were born into the tribe of Levi, what that would mean is at a certain age, you would serve in the temple until you were no longer able to. And you would minister into the temple. You didn't have a choice. You couldn't go and be a plumber or an IT specialist. Not that they had them in those days. But you couldn't choose the job you wanted. You were automatically, as a Levi, at a certain age, going to minister into the temple. That was set for you. However, if you were from the Levi tribe and you were from the family of Aaron, then you would become a priest and you would have different duties to serve in the temple than if you were just a Levi. So there was the Levites and then the Levitical priests, and they would work together to serve in the temple. You could only go into the Holy of Holies, you could only sacrifice animals if you came from the family of Aaron. God had set up a plan that this would be the case, that you could only do this in the Old Testament, throughout Old Testament into the times of Jesus. The Hebrew for priest is Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. Now, if we go back to the days of King David, and you will see this in notes I'll send out to you, email them to you, in the book of Chronicles, chapter 24. In David's time, David set up people that would minister continually in the tabernacle. And they were what were called divisions. There were 24 divisions from the family of Aaron. And they would be rotated on to serve in the temple, to minister for the people of the needs, to stand as intermediaries between man and to God and offer sacrifices. And so that what that would mean for every priest is that they would serve at every feast or the three feasts, but also they would serve every Sabbath for two Sabbaths a year. And you would start on one Sabbath and you would continue to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, well, Sabbath was a Saturday then, until the next Sabbath. And so you do two Sabbaths on your shift, and there'd be two divisions of people that would serve and minister in the temple. And that was set up right in the time of King David. So in Zechariah's time, we know that that continued to happen. And because of that pattern, God's plan that he set up, we know when Zechariah was serving in the temple. And you can study that for yourselves in the way that that happens. So Zechariah's first ministry in the year began on the Sabbath before Passover. So he was there the Sabbath before Passover, into Passover, and the next Sabbath. Now, only a priest could offer incense on the golden altar and could offer sacrifices in the Holy of Holies and could come back and offer what they call an Aaronic blessing, bless the people. So all males, whether whatever tribe they were from the age of 12, for the three feasts and then the four feasts later on, would travel to Jerusalem and they would stand in front of the priest, and the priest would have the privilege of serving the people, interceding for the people, going to the altar, burning incense to God, which represents the prayers going up to heaven. And then they would go and do what they needed to do for God, and then they would come back and give the Aaronic blessing. Only if you were from Aaron would you have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It would happen once. And some priests never, ever had the opportunity to do this. They served, but weren't able to burn incense and bring the Aaronic blessing back. And it was done by lot. So if you were one of the Aaronic, from the Aaronic family, part of that group of people that could serve at that particular time, only at that particular time, you'd have the lot and it would be you to do it. Why am I saying that? It's because God planned this right in the Old Testament for this to happen on this day. This wasn't an accident when Gabriel comes to Zechariah on this day. God didn't go, okay, what day is he serving now? Okay, right. Hey, Gabriel, write this in your diary. I need you to go and meet that guy. God chose Zechariah by lot to be the man to hear the message from Gabriel and for faith to arise in him and for something to happen through him and his wife. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Today, maybe God is going to do a once-in-a-lifetime event for you. We asked you to come. We invited you to be here for a reason. It wasn't, let's just care for our older folks that are having to isolate. We wanted you here. I wanted you here because I believe God wanted you here. We'll expand that a little bit later. So Zechariah is an old man, he's an old priest. He'd not yet had the opportunity of fulfilling this duty. And it appeared like he's coming towards the end of his life. His best years have gone before him. You know, I look back now, I'm 56. Thank you for all my birthday cards, by the way, everybody that sent me them. I really appreciate that. When you get to 56, you look back and you go, have my best years gone? No, my best years are ahead. Do you believe that? Say yes, please. Agree with me. My best years are ahead. But for an old man, he comes and thinks, some of my best days have gone now. I haven't been chosen, might never ever be chosen now, but he was. And so when his ministry life was almost over, Zechariah and his wife finally receive, listen to this, the highest calling any priest had ever had since Moses. Because of what God was going to do through them. The highest calling any priest had ever experienced since Moses, because what God was going to do through him and his wife. And the details of when Zechariah served allow us to pinpoint the exact time when Gabriel came to speak to Zechariah. So we have this heavenly announcement, this heavenly messenger coming to the room. Wow, if we had an angel today stand right here with a message for us, I wonder what we would do. Some of us might fall flat on our face. Some of us might make for the door. Some of us might hide behind some of the bigger guys. This angel is sent from heaven to bring a message to Zechariah, to tell him that him and his wife would have a son, and that their son, who would be a priest, again, he would intercede between men and God, but also he was going to be a prophet. Now, in the Bible, you could not have one person having the role of prophet, priest, and king. The only person ever you will find in the whole of history that God has ordained to be prophet, priest, and king is, does anybody know? Jesus. So we have this message from this heavenly messenger that they're going to have a son who's going to be called John. John means merciful. What does John mean? God was being merciful to a man and woman who had prayed for years for a boy. John was going to be the intermediary. John is also the one who will announce who the Messiah is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This man, John, who's got godly parents, that God had planned right in King David's time. God worked out that plan meticulously for this child to be born at such a time as this. What do we know about this couple? Well, we know this. They had faithfully served God year on year. They'd continued to serve God to the best of their abilities. How do we know that? Luke chapter 1 verse 6. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all that the Lord commands and decrees blamelessly. They were without blame. Now, of course, they were sinners, as we all are. But what the scripture tells us, they did the very best that they could in the circumstances they found themselves in to continue to believe God in very difficult situations to live in. They lived in hard times, in tough times. Tough times for a Jew to live. Tough times for a Jew that wants to be righteous in God's sight. They made choices in their life to do things what God asked them to do rather than what other people would want them to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were old in age, but they lived blameless lives. So we know that. We know that they were childless. Now that, in that day, in that culture, was a terrible misfortune. It was often seen as a disgrace if you had no children. People would make comments about you as you walked down the street, as you went to get the water from the well. People would talk about you behind the back. They would give you the look. You know the look? Some of them would say, they must have done something wrong. God must be really unhappy with them because he hasn't blessed them with a child. They must be in sin. But what God is going to do, I'm going to come back to that point later because I think the Holy Spirit drops something in my heart that I want to share with a few of you here today, is that God vindicated them. Isn't he a great God? When other people talk about us behind our back and say things which aren't true, make comments which are hurtful, God steps in. God vindicates those people that stand for him. And I want to tell you today and say to you today, please keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't listen to what other people say. If I'd have listened to what people have said about me years ago, I would not be in the ministry anymore. I have to listen to what God says. Most important. And Elizabeth's predicament is she's past childbirth age. Like Sarah, remember Abraham's wife Sarah, who laughed when the angelic being came and said, you're going to have a child? She said, you're joking. Like Rachel in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Like Rebecca, like the mother of Samson. And of course, we know the story of Hannah, don't we? This woman who went to church, to the temple, to the place, to see the priest, and she's pouring out her heart to God. God, give me a son. I'll do anything for you. Just give me a son. She'd had all this shame placed upon her. Husband loved her, but the other wife, you know, mocked her and paraded her own children around and brought shame upon her. And Hannah comes in front of God and and she's praying, and the priest, who was a corrupt priest, should have been there having a word from God, say, you know what, honey, you're going to have a child. He says, you've been drinking in church, too much of that communion wine. By the way, we don't have alcohol in the building, in case you do bring it, but if you do, just don't tell me. And this corrupt priest didn't even give her a word from God at that time. But this lady in the Old Testament points to Zechariah, points to what's going to happen for Elizabeth. And God showed his faithfulness there. He heard her cry. She cried out for him for an answer. God, please answer my prayer. And she says, if you do, God, I'll bring my son and he can serve in the temple and I'll give him back to you. And she does it. She keeps her word. As hard as it was for her to give up her firstborn child that she'd waited so long for, she says, God, I've said it, I'm going to do it. And God honored her for it. And we'll come back to Samuel to finish at the end. So we have this message from heaven that comes to Zechariah. Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And he goes, this is fantastic news. We're going to have a baby. He goes, no. He doesn't say that. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. He's skeptical. You remember Abraham? He was skeptical. You would have thought an angelic being coming after you've prayed for years comes and gives you an answer. You go, actually, I don't believe it now. It's been so long. He asks for a sign. He doubts God and God gives him this sign for 9 months. He can't speak. Wow. Not only that, he can't hear. We know that because later on in the story, we'll come back to that in a minute, actually. So he's deaf and he's dumb. And so when he comes out of the Holy of Holies, when he comes out of the place he's with God, where he's met Gabriel, there's one thing he can't do for the people. He can't give them the Aaronic blessing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because he doubted God. God says, you're not going to talk to the people then. Only once, and you've blown it in a way. But he hadn't, because do you know why? Because God is faithful. When we're not faithful, when we doubt God, do you know what? He's still faithful, isn't that true? Am I getting the message over? Is a message coming that God is always faithful, even when we're not? So then they come to name the son. The family come to name the son, and Elizabeth says, we're going to call him John. And the family says, you can't call him John. There's nobody in your family called John. He says, no, we're calling him John. So this is how we know that he was deaf as well, because they had to make signs to him. They go, Zechariah, we need your help on this. And they say, what were you going to call your son, Zechariah? And he writes on the tablet, John, God is merciful, John. As soon as he does it, he speaks and he hears. What an amazing miracle. The miracle doesn't end there. Something happens that's not happened for 500 years. Does anybody know what that is? It's called the silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Something has happened, actually, just a few verses later. But what happens is he uses the words he prophesied. Look at his prophecy. What does he prophesy over? God is merciful. God is faithful. Two things he prophesies. And it goes out across the land and people go, whoa, something amazing is happening in our nation right now. They hear the story and it goes from house to house, from village to village. And people go, whoa, something is happening right now. The other person that prophesies with a few verses before, which is Mary, the mother of Jesus, she sings a prophetic song. Both of them have angelic visitations. Both of them have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Hebrew is called Ruach HaKodesh. Holy Spirit comes upon them. Why have I shared this message with you today? Because I want to say loud and clear, your God, my God, is faithful. I want to give you this message. I want you to take it back with you. I want you to hold it dear to your heart. And I'm going to explain some things in a minute, because I believe this is a message. You were invited here today, and some of you are on the camera today need to listen to this. You need to know God has been working on your behalf. He is faithful. And why wouldn't God suddenly, why would God suddenly stop being faithful to you, even if we're unfaithful? Because that's against his character. He never changes. Until you take your last breath and leave this earth, or until Jesus returns, he will remain faithful to you. Do you believe that? Please get that in your spirit, because I want you to hear that today. Remain faithful to him. Now, for some of you here that are listening today, as I'm preparing this message, I felt that some people felt that they were carrying some shame. Either that something's been put upon them by other people, things that have been said or done. Maybe one of your family members has done something that's brought shame to your family. Maybe you have done that. And one of the things I believe the Lord Jesus wants to do right now, today, at this very moment, is to release you from that and to vindicate you today and to stand with you through this. Now, I don't know exactly what this means, but you might know what I'm saying, what this means. But I need you to understand this. God is for you right now. And he wants to do something for you. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond in a minute. I want to say to you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let your faith waver. Keep serving him. Some of you are saying, well, I'm too old now. My best years have gone. What can I give with these latter years? Maybe the best years are still yet to come for you. Maybe God is going to cause you to prophesy or do something you've never done before. Zechariah never prophesied before, but when the Spirit of God came upon him, he did something that affected his whole nation. You think, well, I can't do much now. That's a lie from the devil. If God has got a plan for your life, it will come about. You may be thinking right now, I've prayed about it for years. It's never happened. It's never going to happen. I want to say to you, it's going to happen. And I want to encourage you today. For some people, and I've believed this since I came here, God will raise up some people from our land to speak into our nation. I prophesied some years ago about people that were going to stand in front of the presence of royalty, and they did. We've invested so much time in our children because God is going to use some of our children to change our nation. That's why we invest in the way we do. Because we have children that have come here that God is going to raise up and use, like Samuel, to speak into our nation. Some of you will start to prophesy. The prophetic will come from your lips. And some of you are going to stand like Elizabeth stood and say these words. And maybe some of you will stand on this pulpit here and say these words. The Lord has done this for me. Amen. From your lips, you are going to declare, the Lord has done this. Not me, because it was impossible for me to do this. But I'm going to declare today, the Lord has done this for me. And I'm looking forward to that. And when you have those, I want you to come up on this stage and I want you to tell people what God has done for you, to encourage people. Look at somebody now and say to them quietly, God hasn't finished with you yet. You tell them. He is working out his plan meticulously, purposely, intentionally. Peter and Vanessa, can I talk to you for a minute? Is that okay? 2006, do you remember 2006? We were in the building next door and some of you were here. And we said, we're going to build a new building. Who was here? And said that there were not loads, but they were here. And Peter and Vanessa went away. I don't want to embarrass them, but this is what happened. They went away and they brought me two bricks wrapped up. Do you remember? Remember the two bricks that Vanessa, you wrapped up two bricks? No, there was two, wasn't there? Oh, well, I had two. Somebody else then. One brick. I got two bricks from somewhere and maybe somebody else gave me one. What Peter said to me, I'm pretty sure, was something on the lines of this. This is, we believe we're going to see this building built. was a step of faith. They hadn't seen the building. We just said we believe God wants to give it to us. And they did something practically about it. I brought in a stone about this size. And we're in that small building. We were crammed in the Sunday morning. I remember we used to get so many people in that small building. It was mad. You get up to go to the toilet and you couldn't sit down. And one man, I said, who would take this brick and walk around the building and declare that this will be a cornerstone for our building? One man did it. He was standing behind me on the stage. He used to play the saxophone. His name was Paul Desmond. Remember Paul? I'll do it. Carried around the building. We declared we had it. Do you know where those stones are now? Anybody know, apart from Peter? Where are they in the building? You walked over them when you came through the two blue double doors. They are cemented in the ground. You step over them in and out every day and you see them. And that is fulfillment of God's plan that he meticulously worked out. It took us a long time. We had to raise money. We only owe less than £60,000 on this mortgage. Isn't that amazing? What it costs hundreds of thousands of pounds. And we have this building today because we believed. God said it. I believe it. That sells it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Things take time sometimes. They take time. But he's faithful. Let's walk over here on the camera. I won't walk too fast. So, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. You have the story of a man called Samuel, a prophet, a young man whose mother interceded for a child, asked God for a miracle, gave him back to God, and this lad changed the nation's direction. People of Israel, a lot of them have gone away from God. The enemy's come. They're going to face defeat, terrible defeat. They're fearful. Samuel stands up as an intermediary between man and God, and he says, I'm going to sacrifice, and he petitions God in a place. And God hears the prayer. And God pushes back the enemy. And it says the whole nation came back to God because of it. God uses disasters to bring people back to him. Maybe this COVID disaster, God is wanting to do something to bring people back. He gets a stone. And you're going to help me later on after the service finishes, if you wish. Takes a stone. The stone is God's help. It's called Ebenezer. Not Ebenezer Scrooge, but Ebenezer. Does anybody know what Ebenezer means? Thus far, God has helped me. Just pick up your stick if you can underneath, or your stone, if you're able to pick it up. There is a question, though. Don't read the question. That was just something the young people had. I want you to place it in your right hand symbolically. I want you to know this. Thus far, God has helped you. Do you believe that? He's helped you this far. He's not going to give up on you now. He's not going to stop helping you. Thus far, God has helped you. Luma and Josh, could you come back? Great. Thus far, God has helped you. After the service, you're going to come and place them on our Ebenezer stone here. Everything we're doing now is around the cross. God's plan in the Old Testament for Jesus. Everything we do is around the cross. And everything that we're going to do over the next weeks, months and years is around discipleship. It's about prayer. It's about worship. It's about relationship. It's about mission. It's all about Jesus. God's plan. Because one day Jesus is coming back. And beforehand, he hasn't finished with you yet. So we're going to have a time of worship in a minute. But before we do, I want to say, if any of you, if God has spoken to you through what I've brought today in any way at all, I'm going to ask you, and if you're at home as well, I'm going to ask you to stand again. I know I've asked you to stand a few times, but I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. I'm going to ask Jerry to come and join me over here as a church elder. And we're going to raise our hands and we're going to pray for you today, or if you're at home. So would you stand right now if you feel that God has spoken to you, spoken into your life through this message today? don't need to respond just because I've said it. It's only, you know, for me, I'm just a messenger. But you know your better days are ahead of you yet. There's still things God has for you. He's not finished yet. Regardless of what you see in the natural, I'm in pain, I'm old, I've lost somebody, I've got no finances, I don't know what to do. God's not interested in that. All he wants now is for you to stand and allow him to minister to you. Jerry, would you raise your hands towards the church? Father, we pray your blessing over these men and women who are standing right now in their homes, in this building. Those that were invited specifically here today, God, you have a plan. I know that. I've been obedient to what you've said. Lord, the rest is now up to you. You do your work. So, Father, take what you have and use it for your glory today. We pray God's blessing on you now in Jesus' name. We pray release from the past and we pray wholeness into the future. That what God has started, he will finish. Amen. So Smith Wigglesworth said this, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, so we're going to practice it. Ready? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, now we aren't really supposed to sing, but I don't think it says we can't shout once. Okay, I'm going to have it loud so people can hear us. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen.